I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 15. And no, we are not going to NASCAR today, Christian.
Like I told you before we started recording, I had no idea NASCAR even raced this weekend. And granted, I know they race every weekend, but like, man, I did not see one thing from them this weekend.
There you go. Well, we're not even having it as our car of the episode either.
We typically don't.
This time... No, we do. Because when you get stuck for a number, you default to NASCAR. But today, we have the 1990 Mercury Cougar Twin Turbo XR7 of Roush Racing, driven by Robbie Gordon, Calvin Fish, Lynn St. James, Mark Martin. This car actually won its class, the GTO class, in... at the Daytona 24 Hours in 1990.
I feel like I'm sorry, what did you say? Mercury
Cougar.
Cougar, that's right.
Yeah.
This is the GT.
Yeah. No. GTO car.
GT. That's... Oh, yeah, I was looking at this car up the other day.
Yeah, they had the Mustangs.
Yeah.
They had the Mustangs, the Capris. Then we had the Mercours.
Yeah.
Which were pretty cool. And then we had this monster.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering why I recognized that name, and I realized I was looking up the seasons a few weeks ago.
Yeah. There you go. Back when you made real cars, not GT3 cars.
Yep.
Not complaining about GT3 cars.
No, but just saying. But what it was GTO, and then there's GT.
It was GTO, GTU.
GTU. Yeah, GTU and then, needs to come back.
And then there was GTP, which was the prototypes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, they went to GTS, which got even more outrageous than GTO.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you had the twin turbo Nissan 300ZXs. The Cougars went to be twin turbos, like 1,000 horsepower things. I mean, it was friggin' wild. Anyways, all right. On tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR in Kansas. Talk IndyCar, our favorite race, the Sunzio Grand Prix. Wasn't the same without Lee Diffie.
No, it wasn't.
And Sunzio. Well, San Sanzio 8,000 times.
The race might have been the same, but the commentating was not.
Yeah. We'll discuss IMSA at Laguna and a fantastic race.
Yeah.
We'll also talk WEC at Spa, 6 hours. Another fantastic race. I'd like to discuss MotoGP today, too. Probably the best race of the weekend.
I did not get to that, but I got all the other races in except for NASCAR because I don't know that they exist half the time.
And
You got somewhere?
hold on a second.
So excited that you forgot where you went?
No. I got to the British touring car races too.
Oh. Don't they do? They do three races in a weekend, right?
Yep.
And then didn't IndyCar do practice today? Because today is Tuesday by the time of this recording.
Yeah. It was three races at Brands Hatch, so, but we don't have to discuss that. We can talk about that later. We got to get to a lot tonight.
Was it the Indy Circuit or the GP Circuit?
It was the Indy Circuit.
Oh, that's good.
Which it was great, but the funny thing was the BMWs, which were out to launch at Donington, swept the three races here. It was crazy. It's just how it worked. Anyways, we'll get to BTCC at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, but we got a lot to get through. Mm. And we've got to make picks for Formula One. And we also have to make picks for IndyCar qualifying for the 500.
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's start a little differently here. Let's just talk about some news right now. Came out this weekend at Spa. That Ford, when they come to they will take their LMDH program to the WEC series to start and then move to IMSA. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Well, we had already known this.
Yeah, well, it was just confirmed this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have viewed my displeasure about this of like we're delaying in IMSA,
right?
A car in IMSA where it's like that's your main market, like
right.
I just I don't know.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But you know, hey, this program, this thing's only gonna be around 3 years, so don't worry.
I know. Honestly, that's the other thing too, of where like if they're just gonna show up for 3 years, you know what? Run over there because you're not committing anyways. So
yeah. I gotcha.
Look, if they can prove us wrong. Like,
right.
That's the way it is. But also, yeah. Like, I also hope that they make the right decision in picking the V8 motor out of the Mustang and throw it in that car.
Because
if they pick the V6 EcoBoost motor that was from the 4GT, I get it, but, like, you're just... You're already on the back foot coming in, and you're going to lose a coolness factor against Cadillac or GM. Like, that's your main rival, like, at the end of it. I know they're going to sit there and say Ferrari's the main rival, but no. You need to first win the American market.
I agree. All right. Let's see what else is going on in the world. Well, this weekend we have Franco Colapinto.
Yep.
Makes his... come back in F1 for Alpine.
After they've
Mercedes has, yep, Mercedes has run out their Iron Lynx colors for their return to Le Mans in GT3. Shockingly, they're all in the silver. They look pretty cool.
I was going to say, I actually kind of like it.
I do too.
I think they should stay that color.
Well, that's the factory backed effort, if you want to call it.
I know, but like you put the factory colors on it. I like how McLaren is bright orange and the Corvettes are bright yellow. Yeah. Like it.
Yeah.
It helps.
It does. All right. Let's see. And just trying to just see if there's anything else. It was more racing than it was new. I mean, really.
I guess the Oliver Oaks
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I haven't heard any more about them, about the money thing any more than that. So
yeah, I haven't either.
So wait, we shall wait.
It does sound like a very good racing story.
It does. So. It does. Typical. Some type of crime element. Shock. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Just trying to think. Anything else? No, that looks like it. All right. Let's move on to let's just talk NASCAR real quick.
Sorry.
What? Go ahead. Sorry.
You were talking about paint schemes with the Iron Lynx. Toyota has unveiled their paint scheme for their number 7 car, which is a bright red, as like their throwback to the what was it? TS020.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The
prototype that they ran in the
first,
the 90s.
The first prototype. Yes. I thought that was cool.
Yes. I think they should keep that for the remainder of the season, too.
Very excited about that. All right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. Let's go to NASCAR, which this turned into the Kyle Larson Invitational. Kyle dominated qualifying, took the pole, started from P1, stage 1, P1, stage 2, P2, P1, and stage 3 takes the checkers for the win. He also mixed in fastest lap there. So that was a dominating performance. Coming off of a busy week of doing some sprint car action prior to going to Kansas, and then finishing up on Sunday in Kansas, heading off to another sprint car race where he finished in the top 3, and then off to Indy today for the opening day of practice. Busy man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. All right, next up, it's the NASCAR All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro. So we don't really, that's like a week off for us. Oh, that's good.
Again, like I said, I haven't been watching, so.
Unless Nate dials in.
Yeah.
All right.
Next week's going to be a kind of a quiet week of just F1, and the only other thing I have is Super Formula is at Autopolis.
We have IndyCar qualifying. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, we do it. Sorry, on top of IndyCar qualifying.
Good lord.
I just have the races in my calendar.
Oh, all right.
And IndyCar is the only thing that's separate. But yeah.
Let's talk the Sanzio Grand Prix. And hello, hello. It's almost comical. I love that he's winning. I don't know if he's going to win the 500, but the way he wins on the road courses, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, after looking at today's results, he's...
I know, he's up there.
He's there.
But
so.
I will say this. Rahal Letterman, they showed up qualifying and stuff, first part of the race, and then the strategy just went out the window because they had to, put the soft tires on. It was just like, why don't you just run the same strategy that they were running, and then you don't compromise yourself, and they compromise themselves because they went to the blacks at the end of the race, and I'm like, oof.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could kind of see throughout the race that Pillow had the pace advantage.
But the only way you were gonna try and stay with him, everyone knew what he was gonna run from a tire strategy, which was he was gonna run the scuff reds, then he was gonna run the blacks, and he was gonna save the softs for the end. I mean, it wasn't that hard to figure out what people were gonna do. because they had to make three pit stops. So I don't understand why you went and burn up your brand new soft tires right away. I don't know what that gains you. You should save it for the end.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I mean, yeah. So of course, you know, as those guys, you know, the rail guys kind of futz with their strategy, Pato came back, finished second, which was a nice drive for him. Will Power, another fine drive, finishing third. McLaughlin, was a meh race. Mm-hmm. You know, started fourth, finished fourth. Dixon was the big mover, up 11.
Yeah, just quietly hunting.
Yeah. And then the other big mover was Marcus Armstrong, who finished seventh. Kyle Kirkwood and Rinus VK too. Oh, another top 10 for VK.
Yeah, just putting in some good results.
Yeah. Tough day for Newgarden. Tough day for Kyle, Colton Herter. Herter got his nose chopped off on the beginning. Not nothing of his undoing. So they kind of set him back. Newgarden had an issue. Had a kind of with the car with the hybrid system. Had to come down the pit lane and reset it. So kind of killed his day. Which he started off all right, but he had to go to the back of the field when that happened. So that was unfortunate. And then overall, the rest of the race, I mean, it was, you know, it was good. I didn't think it was as good as Barber. There wasn't a lot of mixing it up in the back of the pack, you know, as much as it was at Barber, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think the with the tire rule that they had, where they had to make all the pit stops and just having them go flat out, you didn't really see. I don't think you saw the tires probably get stretched as far as they could go to then get some of the degradation to play out.
Yep.
And it seemed like everyone was pretty much on the same tires at the same time, aside from a couple guys here and there. And you know, whether you were starting in the back versus starting at the front, and how you were going to approach the race that way. So I mean, most guys like for like, it was pretty identical. So I mean, you're basically just running the same pace and the same strategy, and there's not a whole lot, whereas with Barber, you really do see the difference between an in and out lap, and obviously how much you can stretch it versus how much you don't. So that there's just more wear on that track. But I mean, with that said, like Pillow aside, the field was tight, so it's not like everyone wasn't keeping each other honest either. So you definitely had to be on it, and some races were definitely won and certainly lost in the pit lane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was, I guess I didn't realize that the caution that came out at Indy was the first one since the first race at St. Pete.
I was just getting to that, yes.
Which is very impressive in and of itself. So
yes, yep.
That's
I was definitely just getting to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great achievement for any series to just have that much green flag running, and you know, you let the whole race play out and as it goes, and it's not no one's doing anything crazy or stupid to ruin each other's races or just having mental mistakes either. So the hybrid system now where you can refire the car definitely helps with some of the situations, so that's a good
I also think though the hybrid system with the added weight is kind of playing into the fact that there hasn't been, I think guys are a little more cautious with their driving or a little more aware. So that might be something. I think as they start to get more of the feel for it, I think they'll get used to it, you know, and start mixing it up more. But it does, you know, it does, there's more weight in the rear end. So it does impact how you, you know, the rear end of the car. So, you know, and eating up the tires. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, someone's got to figure it out to be just as good as Pillow, at least to start challenging him.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's, so next up for IndyCar is a week of practice. We have qualifying, then we have another couple of days of practice, carb day, and then on Sunday before Memorial Day, the Indy 500. So should we do our qualifying picks right now? It's a good, I think, a good opportunity to do that on the heels of the opening day of practice.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Nate's.
Yeah, I was going to say you got Nate's, right?
I have Nate's, yes.
Man.
All right. So Nate is going with Scotty Mac for the pole.
All righty. And is... Does he have a dark horse or no?
No, no dark horse here. No, just pull, yeah. Well, we got to, you know, we'll have our dark horse for the race. Yeah. Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go. I'm still looking.
Okay. You're still looking. I am going to go. I know this is a long shot. I'm going to go Scott Dixon.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I mean, it's not a
long shot. I don't know why.
I don't think it's a long shot.
I
got pulled.
I know. I don't.
Ago.
Because, well, and the only reason is it comes down to it can be very weather dependent, you know? Like, you get a cloud at the right time. Track cools down, it's perfect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, speaking of weather, Saturday is the big day, right? And then Sunday is the final.
Well, Sunday, it goes, so Saturday sets the top whatever.
Yes.
They go to that crappy shootout thing.
On Sunday.
For the Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the bumping at the end.
Right. But Saturday is, you know, the bulk of the field.
Yes.
All right. I mean, Friday looks like it's going to be hot. Saturday, warm as well. There seems to be like a chance of a shower overnight.
Yeah. So that will change the track a bit.
And then Sunday, there's. It says like there's a 10% chance of rain, 5 or 10% chance of rain throughout the day. So it'll be cooler, but, you know. I think it'll be all right there.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
I think... I think the Verizon IndyCar is going to do it.
Oh, Will Power.
Yeah.
Will Power. All right. All right, so we have McLaughlin, Dixon, and Power. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be either Newgarden or Pillow that wins it.
I was going to say, it's probably Pillow wouldn't shock me just because he's been the best one to adapt to this car.
Yeah, you know, well, so. And Newgarden is, he does well here, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Okay, so we got that out of the way. All right, let's move on to IMSA. At Laguna Seca. And once again, another Porsche 1-2 after another BMW pole. Now, I will say Cadillac actually showed up this time.
Yep.
And qualified fourth and seventh. And Acura was fifth. So. Mm-hmm. So, but that was in qualifying.
I mean, the other thing too with BMW, at least I know they lost the win, but
they're taking the
they were right there at the end.
Yes.
So it like this race was very good between the two Cadillacs and the two BMWs, or I'm sorry, the two Porsches.
That's and the two Porsches and the two BMWs. Yeah.
So
it was very. I was
good.
Thoroughly entertained by it.
So like it was not a bad race. It ran caution free, too.
Yep. At Laguna.
Yes. So.
Which I have no idea how you run caution free at Laguna.
Yeah. good for them. Like that was.
Great. And there were a couple of offs. Like guys had offs.
Yep.
But they were actually able to get the cars turned around and going again. So. Good on them.
Yeah, I didn't see where he finished, but I saw Wickens was finishing the race this time.
Yeah, hold on. I will look it up. So anyways, at the top, we had Matthew Gemini, the Mats, Gemini and Campbell, followed by Nasr and Tandy, followed by Eng, Vantor, Wittmann, and Vendelinder in the BMW. After them, in the fifth was Renger and Nick Yelly in the Acura. Then it was Cadillac, 6, 7, and 8. Porsche, the Aston was 10th. So, good on them. Let's see where, hold on. This is where it gets a little dicey. They finished 31st. But I don't.
The Aston?
Yeah, but I don't know if they. No, 31st was Rick Wickens and. Alec Udell.
Yeah.
In GTD. Klaus Backler and Lauren Heinrich. One not with Rexy, but Roxy.
Yes, Roxy. Roxy's getting the win for the season.
Then we had the Dragon Speed Ferrari, and then we had Garcia and Sims in the Pratt Miller Corvette, and then Pfaff Motorsport finished fourth overall. And then Wynwood Racing took GTD. Mm-hmm. So, there we go. Next up for IMSA is Detroit Rock City. Where it will be, I believe, GTP and GTD Pro? Or is it all GTD?
Hooray.
Pro.
Hooray.
All right.
Yeah. Go back to Belle Isle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. hold on. I'm at, here we go, Detroit. Hold on. There's an asterisk. No, hold on. Yes. Well, there'll be a Michelin Pilot race.
Yes, there will be. There'll be an IndyCar race.
Yep. Is there a Michelin Pilot race?
Wait a minute.
Trying to find the event schedule. I can't find it. Sorry.
Hold on. We are checking.
Okay.
No, it's just WeatherTech. No,
No Michelin pilot this
no
time.
Michelin pilot.
Okay. All right. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, there's Indian XT that's going to be there.
Oh, okay.
So,
All right, that makes sense.
yeah.
All right. Okay. That's good.
Oh,
All
I don't
right.
know if it's good, but
Yeah, I gotcha.
we'll see.
All right. Let's move to the other side of the world in sports car racing. Spa. At Spa-Francorchamps, 6 hours. And it was a Ferrari 1-2.
And one in GT3.
Yes.
So,
However, the surprise of the weekend has to be the Alpines.
okay. Outside of the Ferrari performance,
Yep.
yes, Alpine was very good, but I gotta say, the rest of the class played out pretty close.
Yep.
So, and again, like the Ferraris are
I 100%
very
agree.
much ahead. Like they need another step back, or everyone needs to, be given some more on their end. However they want to
Yeah.
do it.
Right.
But the 51 Ferrari was running away. The 50 was kind of hanging around where the Alpine was there. And let's not forget the Peugeot was there the whole race too,
It was until they had tire issues.
until its tire failure. So
Yeah.
that was very promising pace from them. So,
Yep.
and then at one point in the race, there was like six manufacturers in the top seven because it went Ferrari, Ferrari, Alpine, Peugeot, Toyota, Cadillac, or no, I'm sorry. It was like Alpine, Peugeot, BMW, Cadillac, Toyota, Porsche. Like they were all in there.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and then.
The biggest problem is that there is a distinct advantage in qualifying for the Ferraris.
Yes. Yeah.
And that I think that's what's setting the tone for the weekend. That's just my, I think that's what's kind of everyone's kind of up in arms about, but
Yeah, it's because I didn't watch I just watched the race back today, so over the weekend I saw the results of 1 through 3 for Ferrari, and then in the race they went 1-2, and I was like, all right, well, something had to happen to the 83, and then of course, yeah, something did happen in the race where I think they had like a power unit problem because they at the after like the drop of the green flag, like they just started falling back, and like there was a point where they were back where the Toyotas were, and the Toyotas qualified like almost dead last in the class. So at that point in the race, that 83 was not looking good. I do want to say I thought the Aston Martins had a great race for only like their second or third outing. So I was very happy to see how close they were this race, and they were not a lap down or anything like that. I know there was a couple safety cars, but they were legitimately hanging on at the end of the race, and the 007 wasn't the points until they had to pit right at the end for a splash and dash, but so did other teams. So towards the end. So I mean that's good pace, and it was holding off a BMW in the process as well. So I'm looking forward to them being up in the mix a bit more. I'm not quite sure where they lack the pace specifically, because I can't imagine that they're short on any power, so maybe they're just they can't take the corners as quick as everyone else. That's got to be my only other thought for that. But anyways, I hope everything gets worked out and resolved, and they can work through their problems. It definitely seems like a very promising car compared to some of the other privateers that are out there. So. And GT3 was a great show as well.
Yes.
Throughout the race.
The whole race was.
Yeah. They had, at one point, they were cutting back and forth between, like, a top five battle and then, like, a 10th place battle. Because
10th place battle. I saw.
Because it was, like, three or four cars on top of one another, like, in this.
I know.
In those two groups. So, like, it was good.
I like that track. So, I mean, makes a huge difference there.
Yeah, yeah.
So. All right. So, next up, the biggie. Le Mans.
Yeah, looking forward to the crown jewel in sports.
Yeah,
cars.
Me too. Should be fun. Yeah. I think in between we have ELMS at Imola for some reason. And I know Formula One's there, but I think ELMS is somewhere. I want to think it's there.
Let's take a look.
Now, the funny, just on a side note, looking ahead to the end of June, post Le Mans, the 24-hour Spa prologue was today.
Yes, and there was like 76 entries on that list.
Yes, 76 entries. One of those entries may see the debut of one Franz Herrmann.
Oh no, Franz Herrmann.
But I don't know how that's going to happen because there is kind of a... There is a conflict.
I see no problems with this. Where else is Franz Herrmann racing?
Austria for the GP.
You mean the Formula One Grand Prix?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, who is this Franz Herrmann? I am unfamiliar with
this guy. He's some superstar. I thought Calapinto was the hot guy, but this guy like literally set a class record.
Does he fastest
in class this weekend at the Nürburgring?
Is Franz
in GT3 car
running under like some alias in F1? He must be.
I mean, he has a Dutch flag.
Ah. Well, that kind of narrows it down.
Right.
just an update on European Le Mans series. They do not race in June. They race in July.
When they go back, it's to July. Imola. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Imola is there, so race, but it's not until July.
It's not until July. There's no race in between. So.
No.
There's nothing. Okay. All right. I thought there was for some reason. But anyways, that's fine. All right. Yeah. So that would be kind of cool. Franz Herrmann shows up.
Yes, that would be.
Seventy-six cars, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one heck of a field.
Like, what kind of problem could happen there?
Everything. Everything and anything. There may be a car stalled at the entrance of pit lane and ruin the race for the leader.
I mean, they're going to be going through Eau Rouge, and the last guy is probably just taking the green flag.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Anyways, I'll look forward to that race. That's a busy week because I believe it's Le Mans, the Nürburgring 24-hour. Watkins Glen is in that mix, like. I think the weekend after Le Mans, And then Spa.
Yeah.
It's freaking crazy.
Yeah, Watkins is the weekend after Le Mans. Yeah, it's a busy schedule.
Very busy. All right. That covers WEC. So Ferrari continues. It's like IMSA. Porsche dominates, Ferrari dominates in WEC. Right?
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to going elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
I guess the other thing too is likewise with Ferrari and in WEC, like I do think Porsche and I guess with how close BMW has gotten, you know, they probably should get reined in a little bit compared to Cadillac and
Acura. In so, WEC?
In IMSA.
Oh, in IMSA, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like they should. I mean, Porsche's won every single race in IMSA this year, so.
Right.
They need to, yeah, you gotta claw them back a little bit.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. All right. Lastly, before we get to our F1 picks, MotoGP was at Le Mans on the Bugatti circuit. And Viva la France.
Oui?
Wish Nate was here for this. Johann Zarco with the win in the rain. Oh. Fantastic. The guy, it was awesome because they kept, because they can go out on their sighting laps and then they can change the bike to the wet bike or to the dry bike and then you got to make a decision. That was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. So Zarco took the win at home in front of the home faithful. Did a backflip off the guardrail. It was pretty cool. Marc Marquez was second. And Fermín Andújar was third. A lot of the other top guys crashed out. It was wild. It was awesome, though. But Zarco was... The race just fell right into his hand. He you know, he had the rain tires on. He had the rain bike at the right time and took it. So I thought it was an awesome race. But still, those guys still in the wet. Just amazing how they can ride those things. And they don't care. They really don't. All right. And next up for MotoGP is the British Grand Prix on May 25th. Woo! That's a busy weekend.
Yeah.
Got Monte Carlo. Got Indy.
Mm-hmm.
We got MotoGP, and then we have the World 600, Charlotte.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess if Monaco does turn into a procession, then you can just flip over to MotoGP.
I know. I'm actually looking forward to Saturday for qualifying more than I am the race.
Yeah, and that's the way it's been these past few years. Like it's just so,
I'm excited for.
I do have to say I am. I know Formula E went to Monaco this past weekend or two, whichever one it was.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it, but I've seen some clips of it, and I would be interested in going back and watching that race specifically. Not because I want to watch Formula E, but I just want to see what smaller cars racing around the streets of Monaco look like.
Yeah, well, it's the same, like Formula 2, Formula 3, it's, you know, the race is so much better.
Yeah. And I mean, even F2 is getting kind of big.
They're getting big. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, like, again, like, even, oh, God, what was it? I think Ferrari took out their historic cars, and they had one of their pre-war cars, or just the immediate post-war car that they had going around. But man, you look at that car driving around, it is so small. And like, I get downforce and safety constraints to that have beefed the cars up quite a bit since then. But man, like, just if you make the car small enough, you can actually get some side by side.
Yeah,
you can't even really get side by side right now around Monaco, and it stinks. That's why like everyone's questioning the event. Like, if you just get the car smaller, you don't have to change the track. So
crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We have Imola this weekend.
Yes, Imola. Where'd you say NASCAR was going again?
NASCAR is the all-star race at North Wilkesboro.
Right. IndyCar qualifying for 500.
Yep.
We're going to have a bump day on Sunday.
Yep.
And then...
hold on a second here.
Moving
into the... Uh-oh.
Yes, I know. There's a potential bit of rain at Imola, right?
40% chance on Sunday.
Yeah.
Go to the hourly forecast.
Well, actually, that might be good. That might be bad. Because we just got to hope that it doesn't flood the paddock again.
Yeah. No. I don't think it's going to flood the paddock. But, yeah. Anyways, yeah, we don't. Oh, that was bad. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. We got to do our picks here. For that,
yes.
Our seafaring counterpart has picked the following: Oscar, Max, and Lewis.
All righty.
His dark horse is Calapinto.
Keep dreaming.
Oh, all right. I've given this much thought. I'm going to go Max because I think it's going to rain.
All right.
And then I am going to go Charles, and then Sainz.
Wow.
I mean, dark horse is going to be Ocon.
I'm going to go Lando.
Lando.
Lando, Piastri, McLaren 1-2. And then Max in third.
Okay. Your dark horse?
Dark horse for the weekend. I guess it sort of. Oh, yeah, Hadjar.
I like that.
It's only because VCarb goes testing there at Imola a lot.
Okay. All right.
When they decide to do like the two things of running, so.
Alrighty. We've covered everything.
Yeah, we have. We've like run through everything.
we run through. We had to, because we started to get, if we got into deep discussion, this would have been a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, definitely would have.
Fortunately, the NASCAR race, Larson ran away with it, so that was good.
Yeah, and I mean, like, to some extent, the IndyCar race, Pello ran away with it.
Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I just don't, I think everyone knew what he was going to run on the strategy. It was like, I just don't know why some of these, I mean, I think some teams did, but I just can't believe the Rahal guys didn't.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, anyways. And then WC had a few incidents. The McLarens got hosed this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was literally within an hour of each other.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they got Sean Galeo got just absolutely wiped out, no fault of his own.
Yeah,
just absolutely wiped out. And then the other McLaren, same thing.
Yeah,
like what the hell?
Yeah, no, that was bad.
It was too bad, and those cars look sharp, though. I must admit that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah,
yeah, they were having some good battles too. Like it.
Yeah.
I mean, hence them getting taken out, you know, because they're racing side by side with other cars. But
yeah, yeah. But anyways, well, we shall see.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.